Now, our last two Q&As in our weekly updates, we talked about the origin of the cross and the origin of the sign, in other words, making the sign of the cross. And so we addressed the issue as to where that all is coming from. But we didn't really, except in passing, talk about the kind of cross which Jesus Christ was nailed at. And that's what we like to discuss today. It's well known, of course, that the Tau cross, the way it's called, which is commonly pictured as a type of the cross on which Christ was crucified, has been used as an object of worship long before Christ was born. But does the Bible even support the idea that Christ was nailed to such a two-beamed cross? If not, what does God's word say? When the word cross is used in the New Testament, in the Authorized Version, in the New King James Bible, it's a translation of the Greek word stauros, S-T-A-U-R-O-S. Now, according to many commentaries, like the Analytical Concordance of the Bible by Young's, the meaning of that word is simply stake. Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible agrees, defining stauros as a stake or post as set upright. The following comment by Bullinger in the Companion Bible is quite interesting. It says this. It's Appendix 162 of his Analytical Concordance. It says, "In the Greek New Testament, two words are used for the cross on which the Lord was put to death. One, the word stauros, which denotes an upright pale or stake to which criminals were nailed for execution. And two, the word xulon, X-U-L-O-N, which generally denotes a piece of a dead log of wood or timber for fuel or for any other purpose. As this word xulon is used for the former stauros, it shows us that the meaning of each is exactly the same." So I'd like to talk a little bit about this word xulon and how it's used in the Bible, and whether the Bible indicates that that word could be used at all for a two-beamed cross. First of all, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. It says, He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. So here the word xulon is translated as a tree. And quite frankly, we have many scriptures in the Bible which talks about the quote-unquote cross, but defines it as a tree, not as a two-beamed instrument. For instance, let's look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and let's look at verse 30. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree." And you can look for reference purposes also to Acts chapter 10 and verse 39. But I'd like to turn now to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians 3 and verse 13 is telling us, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law," we understand that to be the penalty, "having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Curse is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" Now, this is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy 22, verses 22 and 21, I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 22, which says, If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. So Christ completely and totally fulfills this passage. But what I like to point out here is that the word in the Greek refers to a tree, never to a two-beamed cross. In addition, let's look at another episode when Christ was arrested in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, and let's look at verse 47. And while he was speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. And again, the word club is used in verse 55 of Matthew 26. It's used in Mark 14, verse 43, and verse 48. And it's used in Luke 22 and verse 52. Now, it's also a translation, again, of this word xulon. Here it's translated as clubs in the New King James. It's translated as staffs in the Authorized Version. It's translated as cudgels, whatever that is, in one of those translations. In German, the word is consistently Stange, meaning rod. It's not talking about some kind of a cross which has two beams. It's talking about a stick. And frankly, if you go back with me to Exodus chapter 12, which is a scripture which was partially fulfilled in Matthew 26 when Christ was arrested, notice Exodus 12 and verse 11, which says, "And thus you shall eat it," talk about the Passover, "with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand." Your staff, see, that's what we're talking about, the clubs, the staff, the rod. "So you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover." So when they came by night to arrest him, they did it in haste. And so the staff, which was symbolized here in the Passover ceremony, was in a sense fulfilled when they came with staffs to arrest Christ. So all of these words, all of these translations of the word xulon show us that it never applies to a two-beamed cross. In one case, the Authorized Version translates the word with stalks, or in another case, just with wood. But the main meaning, of course, is tree, or rod, or clubs, or staffs, or staffs. So we see very clearly, even from that, that we are not talking about a two-beamed cross. The Expository Dictionary of the New Testament by Wine says the following: "Stauros denotes primarily an upright pail or stake. On such, criminals were nailed for execution. Both the noun and the verb stauroo, S-T-A-U-R-O-O, to fasten to a stake or a pail, are originally to be distinguished from the ecclesiastical form of a two-beamed cross." You see, so from all the indications we have, Christ was not nailed at a two-beamed cross. Now, the Romans had this method of crucifixion, amongst other methods, but in this particular case, just based on what the Bible tells us, it doesn't appear that the Romans used that method. They used the method by just hanging him, nailing him, fastening him to a pail. Now, we also find that Christ was asked to carry his cross to Golgotha. Again, the word is stauros. Now, let's quickly turn to this in Matthew 27. In Matthew 27 and at verse 32. "Now, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross." because Christ was so weakened by the torture he had received that he wasn't able to carry the cross anymore. Now, some commentaries say that this was only the cross beam which Christ was carrying, only that small part of the cross. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible makes it very clear that what Christ was carrying was the entirety of that cross. Also, you might want to quickly look later at Mark chapter 15 and verse 21, where this Simon is also identified as a father of Rufus, who later became a converted Christian, as you find in Romans 16 and verse 13, but that's just in passing. But you see, the idea like they only were carrying a small portion of the cross is not in accordance with the Bible at all, because later we find that Christ's mother and other relatives stood by the cross of Jesus when Jesus was hanging on the quote-unquote cross. You find that in John 19, verse 25, and again the word stauros is used. It's not given indication that this was just a part of it. Now, the analogy would break down too, because we are told that we have to carry our cross, like Matthew 10:38, as Christ carried and endured his cross, which you find in Hebrews 12 and verse 2. But you see, Christ wasn't able to do it alone. And so here was somebody who helped him, Simon. We are not able to carry the cross alone either. And so here is Christ to help us. But the analogy would break down if you're just talking about a small portion. That's not what Christ is talking about. He's talking about, now I had to carry my cross completely, totally, as you have to carry your cross completely and totally. But I'm here to help you, as I myself have received help through this Simon at the time. Another concept which shows you that the cross we are talking about was just a pail, or you might say a pole, can be found in the book of Numbers. Now, first of all, in John 3 and verse 14, Christ compared his crucifixion with what happened in the book of Numbers at the time of Moses. Now, let's look at Numbers chapter 21 and in verse 9. Of course, this had to do with the fact that the serpents came to bite the Israelites, and then a bronze serpent was made. And so in verse 9 we read, so Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on what? A two-beamed cross? No, put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, later, of course, the Israelites used that for idolatry purposes, and we don't necessarily want to go into this. The point is this. The point is that the bronze serpent was placed on a solid pole consisting of one piece only, indicating the kind of pail or stake on which Christ died. So just based on the record of the Bible, there's nothing in the Bible indicating, even as a possibility, that Christ could have been crucified on a two-beamed cross. This two-beamed cross, this tau cross, tau referring to the letter of the Greek alphabet, the T, is a pagan invention. It was used long before Christ was ever born by pagans worshiping their pagan gods. And when, of course, Christianity started to embrace all these pagan influences, the pagans came in with these concepts, and the quote-unquote Christians, professing Christians, accepted and endorsed it. It's not biblical. And when we talk about crucifying today, and when we talk about cross today, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't, because that's the way it's being translated, but we should understand that we are not talking about this kind of a cross the Catholics in particular worship these days, and some Protestants do too. That is a pagan concept. That is something we must never do.